I have three questions for you. Question number one, are you racist?
No.
Do you hate LGBTQ people?
No.
Do you love children?
Yes.
I'm glad we got that cleared up. You're listening to the Myth of Education podcast, where we expose corruption in K-12 schools, advocate for student safety, and defend parental rights on school grounds. Be sure to like, share, and subscribe wherever you're listening. We've interrupted our regularly scheduled broadcast to bring you this special guest episode. Share your thoughts, good, bad, and ugly, by emailing feedback@mythofeducation.com. If you appreciate the content and want to support the broadcast, visit mythofeducation.com and click the donate link. No amount is too small, and just $50 a month keeps us on air. Visit mythofeducation.com and click the donate link. Thanks for listening.
Warm welcome, Heather Rooks, to the Myth of Education podcast. Before we get into the broadcast, we have a disclaimer. All views and opinions expressed by hosts and guests are their own and do not reflect the views of any public or private person or entity. All rights are reserved.
I am speaking for myself, Heather Rooks, and not on behalf of the Peoria Unified Governing Board.
Let's go back to the August 28th, 2025 school board meeting. This is where we had no less than 60 students protesting the cancellation of their DEI arts program. One trashy left-leaning media outlet wrote an article entitled, "These Theater Kids Won the Fight Against Proposed Anti-Arts Measures at an Arizona School Board Meeting." First of all, DEI is Jim Crow 2.0. It's racial discrimination dressed up like tolerance. So thank you, Democrats, leftists, and rhinos from the 1960s to 2025. If it were up to you, I wouldn't be a free woman today. True diversity has nothing to do with melanin levels or hormone levels for that matter. So the joke is on you. Second, these kids didn't accomplish anything. It was wasted energy and passion where no serious threat existed. They were gaslighted by the adults in their lives. Adults like Washington Elementary School District Board President Kyle Clayton, who instigated the protests on social media. Clayton, for those who don't know, is an LGBTQ person and one of five anti-Christian board members who voted to end his district's relationship with Arizona Christian University in 2023. And this was all because the school's faith statement says marriage is between a man and a woman. Newsflash, that's still a true statement. All other unions are an abomination to God. People like Clayton have no business anywhere near an elementary school district. And my final thought is, only racist people are pro-DEI on any level. And so, Heather, I can only go by what board members stated publicly. I'm not privileged to executive sessions. And pretty much every board member's comment said that those racist art programs weren't even at risk for being canceled. So can you clarify this situation?
Yes, of course. I have been waiting to speak on this. This was brought to myself and board clerk Jeff Toby by our superintendent, Dr. Casey Summers, and our educational leader, Dr. Hernandez, when we were in our agenda planning phase of our next board meeting, and they have concerns. We have funds that we get from the federal government, and membership dues were paid for by federal funds. One of these membership dues is for the National Theater Association. This gives staff the ability to be a part of the association and access to all of the curriculum, access to all the workshop, access to development. The students then get to participate in theater workshops and traveling competitions. When this was brought to myself and Jeff Toby, we tried to figure out, what's the plan? Dr. Hernandez reached out to the National Theater Association. Executive Director, Dr. Jennifer Cantona, left her voicemails. Board Clerk Jeff Toby also left the Executive Director voicemails. We tried to bridge the gap and reach out to this association because we didn't want to disrupt the students' and everything that they have been working towards, all of their hard work in the theater programs in our schools. But she chose to ignore the Peoria Unified School District and the board and working together to eliminate discrimination through their association.
Wow. And isn't Dr. Cantone the one who commented in that leftist Playbill article I mentioned a moment ago?
Yes. Dr. Jennifer Cantone says, theater education equips students with essential skills, creativity, collaboration, and communication that reach far beyond the stage. She also goes on to say that reducing these wide-ranging benefits to a political debate does a disservice to students, schools, and communities. And when I'm reading that, I think it's actually a disservice to the students that this association and Dr. Jennifer Cantone have discriminatory practices on the website. So that's a disservice, and she sure as heck did not have any collaboration or communication with the Peoria Unified School District when we reached out.
Why do you think that is?
I think because she recognizes that their practices are discriminatory, and she wants to put out there that it's a political debate versus coming across the aisle and working with the Peoria Unified School District. To be frank, if you are advocating for discriminatory practices and giving students theater awards based on the color of their skin, you're racist. So that's probably why she didn't want to do anything, because she is a racist herself.
I'm looking at EDTA's website here. They have a DEI policy. They have a racial equity plan. Their anti-racism statement says that they want to honor student achievements and influence public opinion through an anti-racist lens. So it seems like this organization, they must have a problem with racism internally, and they're projecting that onto students. This is not something that children need to be learning. We're not born prejudiced and racist. This is something that people are handing down. And I think that DEI is teaching racism, because if it wasn't a problem before, and then all of a sudden you're coming into a arts program or an English program, history, I mean, it's just permeating everything. Now, all of a sudden, you have to learn how to be racist before you can be anti-racist. It just seems very backwards to me.
Absolutely. You know, and what was so great about our last board meeting on this topic was I could see all of our theater students that came and spoke at that podium. I could see their passion. That's what I wanted to emphasize. That's what these associations should be looking at, is the students' passion, their hard work, their dedication, the hours that they put in to everything that they're learning. Instead, when I see in the National Theater Association's 2025 equity plan that they will radically redesign and revise their awards, including the Hall of Fame, from an anti-racist lens, ensuring that they have representation and at least 50% of awards goes to BIPOC. To me, that's racist, because you're not looking at the actual student and their hard work and their dedication and how great of a theater student that they are and their performance. You're instead only looking at them because of the color of their skin.
That goes against our 1964 Civil Rights Bill. And there's a reason why the current administration is striking these doctrines down, because they're evil. They're taking us backwards. I find it interesting that all of these leftists are after you and people like you. I think the article said something along the lines of being anti-DEI seems to be a conservative issue of late. That's an indirect quote. But in my mind, I was thinking, you know, conservatives have been against racism for as long as I can remember.
I love the quotes of I'm anti-art, but nobody listened to the fact that I took dance class for almost 17 years of my life. I took it in high school. My kids are in the arts, but they all miss that point and they only want to focus on, oh, well, she's anti-art. No, I'm anti-discrimination.
Yeah.
That's what I am.
Yes. Well, we'll just keep beating that drum until they get it.
Yes.
All right. I want to play a clip for you, and then I want to get your honest reaction.
when this person came up to the podium and made the comment, myself and a couple of other parents nearby, we kind of looked at each other and we were just unsure whether or not this person was just shooting their mouth off. So I'm going to play this for you and then you tell me what you think.
Earlier, we heard from a mother whose daughter had lost her sparkle, only regaining that sparkle through participating in the arts competitions these memberships provide. I seem to recall just a few years ago that one of our board members stood at this very podium begging for her own child to be given the opportunity to return to school unmasked, as he too had lost his sparkle, as the smiles of his peers were hidden. By not approving these memberships, you are essentially masking the joy of our students that are participating in these arts programs that deserve better.
Heather Rooks, your thoughts?
My thoughts are this individual is a part of the Peoria Teacher Union, and they call themselves the Peoria Education Association. No, I call them a union because that's what they are. I speak the truth. And this individual is advocating at the podium for children, right? Yet she has the audacity to attack a board member's child and what they went through. To me, that's not advocating for children. The teachers that I grew up with, they don't use a child like that in a political way. And that's what this individual was trying to do. They were trying to hurt a board member to make a point. And they used that board member's child and what that child's experience was during COVID, which in fact, the union wanted our children to be masked. They wanted our children to be vaccinated. They wanted to ignore the parents' rights. This same union organized a sick out back in January of 2021, closed all of Peoria Unified high schools because they wanted to say, well, COVID is so dangerous, right? But they didn't think about the kids at that time and how it would affect doing a sick out, closing all the schools. So here they are advocating for kids now, this individual who happens to be the president of the teacher union in Peoria. But where was she back then when her actions caused students to not be able to go to school to have an education? I would never support an individual who might have similar views of mine to be at that podium attacking another board member's child. When you're in this arena, there is a line you don't cross, especially when you are a teacher and you signed a contract. I find that very disappointing. I think that she does a disservice to the teacher profession. That's my thoughts on it.
I am inclined to agree. And it seems like attacking students, if not their parents or both, seems to be what leftists are about, even organizing this protest. Because if these students had just been directed to contact those organizations, we would have had a totally different board meeting and a totally different outcome. But the leftists always have to turn everything into drama because they don't feel like they get enough attention. We conservative folks, we just mind our own business. We do our job. We raise our families. We don't bother anyone, really. But then as soon as people come along that feel like they're not getting enough attention, this is what they do. And I think where I was mostly disappointed is that I really felt like the adults gaslighted the children.
Mm-hmm. Yes, fully agree. The message was perceived to these students that the board was anti-arts, or, you know, President Rooks is anti-arts. That was the message that was spun way out of control. And instead of just having a conversation with President Rooks, they completely just believed that story of the adults pushing it on them that it's all about anti-arts. How do you support your Peoria Unified students who work so hard every day and their families help them get through everything that they work hard through, right? How do you support an association that is going to give awards to our Peoria Unified students solely based on the color of their skin? That to me is not America. And so I have a duty. I took an oath when I swore my hand in on my Holy Bible that I would follow the U.S. Constitution.
Well, I sure hope that someone in the Peoria Unified School District takes a listen to this podcast and is determined to do something about it before you have to vote on another program like this. I want to change topics now to talk about student safety. And I just want to give a disclaimer up front. I don't believe that student safety is only about protecting the perimeter of buildings or preventing mass shootings or even banning junk food, right? Because we've seen this lately. But we have a pedo problem in our school districts with teachers and coaches and staff members. They're victimizing and taking advantage of minors. This, I believe, has to become a priority for student safety. About 2 years ago, after a board meeting, I was in the parking lot at Deer Valley, okay? And there was a former board member named Ann Ordway. I was talking to her and asked her a really point-blank question. And I said, why are so many pedophiles surfacing in DVUSD? It was just around that season in time where like two or three people had been arrested. And basically, this former board member responded to me with all seriousness. She said, there's pedophiles in every school district. I later found out that she was friends with a former Deer Valley teacher who was eventually charged with child sex crimes. I'm not saying she knew about that, but it just seemed to me that she had no sensitivity. I recently submitted public records requests to Peoria Unified. I requested all their standard operating procedures and documentation processes for screening, hiring, training, and releasing employees to be around children. And I want to get your thoughts on this, Heather. What is your take on why we are seeing such an uptick of perversion in leadership positions preying on children? Where is the breakdown in the hiring process or the retention process?
I think we have got to a point in the last couple of years, boundaries have completely been thrown out the window. There seems to be this notion that employees are friends with the students. And I think that the problem I see is we don't have enough boundaries in place. When I see employees have social media pages and they have TikTok videos or they have Instagram videos and they're doing these videos with their students, that is not professional. It's not. You are the teacher and you have to start creating boundaries with kids. That is what you're supposed to do as an adult. And I think we've blurred the lines with creating boundaries. And the sad part is that when you get these kinds of groomers and pedophiles who are in the news, they get arrested, they are charged, right? What's so frustrating for me is that not every teacher is like that. There are actually a lot of teachers that get so frustrated when those kinds of things happen because it does a disservice to their profession. And it's almost like they have to work even harder to try to fix another employee's grooming behavior, pedophilia, whatever it is. We need conservatives on these school boards across the state because they are the ones that set policy. They're the ones that set the accountability. And they're the ones that set those boundaries. I think a lot of the past couple of years, we have a lot of liberal left-leaning school boards that don't hold accountability. They don't want to put in policy no grooming and child protection because they don't want it to seem like they're targeting teachers. And I feel like it's a disservice because we do have very amazing educators. We do have good principals who do what they're supposed to do. They're all mandated reporters. But then you get somebody else who doesn't, right? And something happens to a child. Who does it go back to? Well, it goes back to what's in your policy. What's in the school board policy? Who is in charge of implementing those policies? If you don't have strong policies, then you're not going to have accountability at the site levels.
So what do you sense is an immediate solution to crack down on the preying and victimizing that we're seeing coming against students?
And I would start with boundaries. No social media. There's no reason for a teacher to do TikTok videos with their students during school hours in their classroom. That is absolutely unacceptable. Honestly, I would love to have training from professionals that have seen behavior, they've studied it when it comes to early detection, early signs, which is our, believe it or not, our police force. We have such great officers and detectives, sergeants that have trained for this. They have experienced this and they know what to look for. Why not bring in those professionals to train staff, to train administrators, teachers? Because if there's not mandatory reporting happening, you can't stop it then. You have to report it. Making sure that that investigation is taken seriously, making sure that you follow all of those protocols, all of those laws. Now, you mentioned Deer Valley District. When we see them in the news, an educator or a staff member is arrested. Well, where was the early signs? Where was the early detection? Because there's always a pattern. There is always that behavior that starts somewhere.
Well, that is a true statement. There was a police report that came out about that former Deer Valley teacher, and he had been disciplined before for exactly what you just said about connecting with students on social media, private pages, private messages and conversations, videos, things like that. And it was all a part of the grooming process. And the school district was aware of it. And I believe that the police report said that he was maybe warned, maybe lightly disciplined. So I hear what you're saying about bringing in professionals to train and look out for these signs. But we also need to have administrators with a backbone who are willing to follow through with whatever the recommended action is. I would rather a school district that I'm paying taxes to, I would rather you be sued for firing someone who is grooming and abusing children than to have a lawsuit from the parents because their child got hurt.
Yeah.
So it would be better if they would take a proactive stance against these things. Because I can tell you, the issue that we had with that crazy Mr. Orange guy a couple of years ago in PUSD, he was in the coaching position of a guy right before him who was also accused and charged with child sex crimes. So there is a pattern of behavior. And I think we just have some people in leadership who unfortunately want to ignore this. You know, I once heard it said, or I read it somewhere, that basically one of the most scandalous sex crime rings in the history known to man is happening right now in America's public education system. Can you believe that? Is that not crazy?
It is crazy, but I guess with the things that I have seen in the last 5 years, it's not shocking anymore. I think for me, this experience has been very eye-opening. It comes down to who sits in that school board seat. The problem that we have gotten ourselves into is there's never been accountability on these school boards before. You can have a written warning and a corrective action plan. Deer Valley, for example, if he had warnings of grooming students, I don't understand that as a mom, how you can allow that individual to continue being around children. What type of training are you going to provide to that individual to get them to stop grooming a child? I don't understand it as a mom. I really don't, because we are called to protect kids. They are innocent, right? And the damage that you can do to a child is forever. And I would hate to have that on my shoulders. I would be devastated.
So I want to ask your personal opinion on this. Why should parents continue using public schools? I understand that for some people, they don't have an option. And there are probably people who do have options and they are either ignorant of that fact or they just don't want to explore it because they have a routine and a lifestyle that's built around having the public school raise their children.
I think what it comes down to is you have to do what's best for your child. I'm a huge supporter of school choice. Every child learns differently. And if a child learns better being homeschooled, then that's what you need to decide as a mom and a dad. And if a child does better in a charter school, that should be the choice. If a student does better in micro schools are popping up, that is your choice, right? For me, my kids are still in the public school. They have friends. They do have great teachers. And it's because I'm so involved as a mom that I make sure that my kids are getting their education. They're being supported. I think that because I'm so involved with that, that's why I still have my kids in the school system. If I just take them out and run away, I don't think that that's really going to help anybody. I love my children and I will fight for them, but I also care about other students in this district and helping them and helping the moms and dads that reach out to me because they just need somebody to support them and feel like they're not alone. I could have given up 4 years ago and not fought for my child, but instead I stayed and fight. And I'm going to rely on God to give me my strength and to give me guidance. That's all I can say to parents is you have to do what's best for your child. And if you think what's best is for them to be in a public school, I would say to you, you need to elect conservative school board members who are willing to fight for your child's education in the public school system.
We have arrived at the segment that I am calling Rapid Fire. I'm going to ask you about 15 questions, and I want you to answer yes or no, true or false. You get one pass and you get one explanation. Just keep in mind, not all of these questions are education related. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Yes or no? Black students should receive special accommodations.
No.
True or false? White students are disadvantaged by DEI.
True.
LGBTQ people should work closely with children. Yes or no?
I'd like to have an explanation for this one.
Go ahead.
So as long as you can teach and you keep your bedroom out of the classroom, that is what we're looking for.
Question four. The greatest threat to children is abortion.
Yes.
True or false? In some situations, it's okay to lie.
False.
True or false? Progressivism promotes immorality.
True.
Yes or no? Christian teachers should freely share their faith with students.
Yes.
Sex education should be banned from public schools.
Yes.
True or false? It's impossible for non-white people to be racist.
False.
Yes or no? Conservative school board members should practice nonpartisanship and peacekeeping by voting with liberals on certain issues.
No.
Parents should be held accountable for crimes their children commit on school grounds. Yes or no?
Yes.
Bible reading should be mandated in public schools. Yes or no?
Yes.
America is a democracy. True or false?
False. It is a constitutional republic.
Social workers are better than SROs in emotional and behavior emergency situations. True or false?
False.
Last question. Public schools can be fixed. Yes or no?
Yes, with God's power.
I want you to take 1 to 2 minutes and give a final word to any parents, district representatives, or even some naysayers who may be listening.
This Thursday is our next Peoria Unified Governing Board meeting, September 11th, and we are going to be honoring our first responders. It's at 6 p.m. So I want to give a shout out to all of our first responders for everything that they do for our country. Second, I will be reading something under board comments. I just want everybody to tune in so that you can hear the statement that I'm going to read. And I just want to give a final word then to our parents and all of the supporters. Don't give up. Keep fighting. And make sure that if you hear something that's saying a conservative board member is anti-arts, just reach out to President Rooks, because I will definitely set the record straight. If you ask me that question, I will definitely say, I am not anti-art. I am anti-discrimination.
Well, that's a wrap. Thank you, Heather Rooks, for coming on the Myth of Education podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Do you agree or disagree with our take? Let us know. Visit mythofeducation.com and click the feedback link, or send an email to feedback@mythofeducation.com. Tag me on socials at RealTiffanyB. I drop guest episodes as time permits and new episodes every other Wednesday. Subscribe wherever you're listening so you don't miss a notification. Support the broadcast by visiting mythofeducation.com and clicking the donate link. To support my nonprofit, visit restoreparentalrights.org/donate. Until next time, you've been listening to the Myth of Education podcast.